Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Victory Monday. Yes, it's a Victory Monday presented by Chenega Miles, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. They're a great sponsor, and they pay for either Misery Monday or Victory Monday, but I'm sure the sponsor's happy too because it's been Misery Monday after Misery Monday after Misery Monday, and it feels miserable outside.
Oh my God.
It's cold, and it's affected me. So Friday, I started coming down with this head cold where I feel it in my sinuses. Basically, all the symptoms that NyQuil says I got: nighttime sniffling, stuffy head, fever, so you can rest. I don't really have the fever, but sneezing, sniffling. So last night, going to bed, and I was like, you know, maybe I should take some NyQuil. I really haven't taken anything.
That'll help you sleep.
But I have NyQuil, and my wife is like blow drying her hair. And I didn't have the, usually with NyQuil, they have like a little measuring cup. I didn't have that. So I just
guzzled it.
No, I just put NyQuil into the bottle cap and I did 5 bottle caps.
Ooh, that seems like a lot.
She said that it was way too much.
That seems like
She's
a lot.
She's like, you're only supposed to take a teaspoon. I was like, I don't know. So I might be a little bit.
No, at your age, you probably need at least 2 teaspoons, right?
I don't know.
But 5 bottle caps.
It was a lot. So I might still be a little bit loopy. Like
did you
when I woke
sleep
up,
great? I bet you slept great.
I slept fine.
Oh man.
Well, no, I didn't
so
really
jealous.
Sleep. That's actually incorrect. I didn't sleep great because I actually slept with a tissue up one nostril because my nose is kind of running.
Mm.
And so
that's
it wasn't
good.
great sleep. And it must not have been great because she bounced out of our bedroom last night.
Because you're annoying.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, it's just miserable cold. You know, you don't want to be outside. It's funny because Kelsey's coming home for Christmas and she's entertained going to the Commanders game. And I've looked into some tickets. I'm not getting tickets outside. There's just no way. Like, I'll entertain it if I'm inside a nice, comfortable suite. Well, I'm not sitting out there for 3 hours, and I don't know what the weather's going to be like at the next game.
Well, what's bizarre is, you know, my buddy Adam, who he's our T10 guy. He's always like on it, even now, right? Like, and he's like, Wednesday, supposed to be 45. So I'm like, all right, I'm in. 45 for me, good enough. But here's the thing. 45 feels like 80 compared to what it's been like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was 18 that felt like zero. That's what they were saying on the weather channels. 18 feels like zero, and I agree with them. I took my trash out. I was in a full sprint taking my trash out with jacket, you know, the whole nine. Frozen after a minute. I don't know how you play football in this. I saw the guys out there, you know, they're doing the bit where they're taking their shirt off, just trying to get used to the cold. You know, I don't know how those guys do that. In the pregame warm-ups, walking around. I don't know how you go to a game and sit there for 3 hours when it's cold like this, but you just don't know. I mean, what's it going to be like? Next game Saturday is a home game? The Saturday
yes.
game is a home game? Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know.
Evening game.
It'll be cold.
Yes,
it's just a matter
cold.
Of how cold it's going to be. If it was like yesterday, I wouldn't last 2 minutes outside.
You mean you'd have to wear that big puffy jacket, you'd have to have a beanie on, you'd have to have some thick gloves if you're sitting outside.
I just don't like being cold.
Well, there weren't a lot of people at that game yesterday between the Commanders and Giants. My buddy Keith, Big Keith, who calls into the show every once in a while, he sent me a text, and he said he wouldn't have gone to the game. Now, he's a diehard.
Yeah.
He went to all the playoff games with his family last year. He travels. But he has family, I guess, and was visiting family and bought the tickets before the season. but he wouldn't have gone to that miserable game in that weather and that terrible dump of a stadium.
Right.
Had it not been for he was already going to be there for the weekend.
Right.
I'm trying to see what the paid attendance was, because it looked like a pretty sparse crowd.
I never paid attention to it. I'll be honest with you. I had a very hard time getting worked up for it. I don't watch the pregame shows. I really don't. I'm annoyed by all of them. I'm usually locked in. I turn it on right just a minute or two before the game. And this one, I even was like, do I even want to watch this? So I put it on. I actually put it on at like 1:04, and I thought I missed a couple plays. But I guess they technically don't kick off until maybe, I don't know, 1:10 or so. I don't know.
It kind of depends on the national anthem and all that thing. Like, but it's usually a couple minutes after.
I actually thought I might have missed a couple plays. I was feeling a little guilty. But they were just about to kick off. And I just was just thoroughly just unmoved by it. But I will say, once they got a good lead, I wanted them to close it out. And I was getting so pissed with the fumbles and everything that I was shockingly emotionally invested in the game by the fourth quarter.
I think so. And look, we're opening up the phone lines now, 1-800-636-1067. How did you feel watching the Commanders get a win? I tell you, it kind of gave me glimpses of what we thought they could be, because this is without Jaden Daniels, right?
Yeah.
They put up 29 points. I know that there was a special teams touchdown. I understand that. So it wasn't all offense.
But that counts.
It does count. But that's what they were averaging last year, right? 29 points per game.
Yep.
They were beating up on some inferior opponents. The Giants, it's hard to believe they're inferior opponents when you have an 8-game losing streak, but the Giants are an inferior opponent. They've beaten them twice this year. They did what they were supposed to do. They ran the football effectively. And I think when you see the explosiveness from Terry McLaurin, you get a Ben Sinnott sighting. You think, well, you put Jaden back there. He's got his weapons. This offense can be what it was last year.
Well, they're still going to need to add some. For
sure. Of course.
Listen, with Jaden, all things are possible. And we'll talk about Jaden, I'm sure, throughout the show. And later, we'll dedicate some real time. How does the win impact the decision? How does Mahomes and Micah Parsons going down with ACLs this late? How does all that maybe potentially affect your decision with just 3 games left now? They're super far off. But by the same token, if Jaden plays the way he played in his first season, a lot of that's mitigated. They're not as far off.
I think offensively, you're not very far off. I think offensively, we expected this team to be really, really good this year. It never really clicked, probably for a variety of reasons. Jaden was a little bit off. Terry not being there in the preseason, I think it was huge.
Massive.
I was listening to Take Command as I was driving in, which is Grant usually with Logan Paulson, but on game days, he often does it with Cedric Golston, former Commanders defensive star. And Kedrick pointed out Jaden's a guy who really loves reps.
Yeah.
Whether it's virtual reps, real reps, he likes reps. And he likes his reps with his guys.
Yeah.
And if you're not having your reps with your guys because they're hurt, I mean, Noah Brown was hurt I saw it. He was hurt the day I went to one of the mini camps or training camps.
Yeah.
And then Terry's not there. Like, you're working with different guys.
Yep. No doubt.
They didn't catch a rhythm there.
It was odd. It was an odd, out of sync, out of rhythm, banged up, everything could go wrong type of year. You just want to wipe it away. Now, part of it is because they are older, and there's going to be an overhaul of this roster, and there's going to be some new blood they have to bring in. But it just never got a chance to get going. They certainly underachieved, in my opinion, because of the injuries. But this reminds you that, hey, they're still capable of winning, even with their backup quarterback at times.
And with Bill having this game, and he hadn't had one like this in a while, it was week 5 when he ran for 111 yards. After that, he had 4 more starts where he basically averaged 40 yards a game, 0 touchdowns, right? For Bill to have this game, it does kind of make me rethink it. I told you before that when I'm looking at next year, I'm thinking draft wide receiver in terms of the offense and sign a veteran running back. Maybe you don't have to. So that's what this next 3 weeks, you got to see if he can now repeat this and have another good game and build on this.
I've told you.
Because I think the offensive line is set.
Yeah.
We like their offensive line. Scary that Tunsil went down, but he came back in the game. I think that you can do fine with the offensive line. You got the quarterback. You got your number one receiver in Terry.
No, you need another receiver. You need another tight end for sure. I mean,
Unless Sennett shows you something here.
But he's not going to step up like he needs to. Like, he might step up
probably
catch
not.
30 balls. He's not going to catch 60. Right? You need a 60 catch.
I've heard him described as a yak guy, and he was breaking tackles, right?
Listen, I'm not saying it's that he'll never be an impactful player. I think it's too early to write him off, but I don't think he's going to go from 5 catches to 50. I just don't think it's going to happen in 1 year.
Unlikely.
I think you need another one, but I'm telling you, and I've said it all along, even though none of those guys are stars, they like that running back room. They like them. And it's a classic running back by committee room. I don't think it's near the top of their needs.
It's definitely not at the top of the needs. But my point is, watching that game, seeing this result, I understand it's against a 2-12 team. I understand the context.
They have some players.
But I think you got to be excited because you saw the potential of this Washington offense. 1-800-636-1067. Tell me if I'm wrong or if you agree with me. Right. I think that you should be happy because you saw those flashes. Now, the big area of concern and the reason why this team really has sucked beyond the injuries is the defense is atrocious. And Jackson Dart is a fun player to watch. The Giants shouldn't rack up almost 400 yards against you. They went for 384 yards. That's super concerning. And the whole Dan Quinn taking over as defensive coordinator, maybe it's helped a little bit.
Well, I will say this. In their defense, we had 4 fumbles. I think we lost 3 of them, right? Because Bill fumbled and we kept it. That puts the defense in a bind, right?
Okay, but the Giants offense getting almost 400 yards.
Well, but those would be possessions that we extend, but we're just getting the defense back out on the field again, back out on the field again, back out on the field again. If they played a little bit more complimentary, held onto the ball, I think the defense would show. I think the defense has been on the whole better since DQ's been there. Last week was a big step backwards, but I thought this week a little bit better.
I think it's been better based on who they're playing.
Could be. All right, let's play out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Play the music, Valdez. I'm happy they won. I know you tankers out there, you want the highest draft pick possible. I think that's for losers. Just draft well. Draft better. Have a better personnel department. Maybe you're going to miss out on a stud or two, but there are other studs. You can find studs in every round. Let's go to Earl in Burtonsville. Earl, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How are we doing this fine Monday morning?
Good. How are you, pal?
Doing great. I'm very, very happy. I'm ecstatic we won.
Right?
You guys know I'm a season ticket holder. Got a big investment in this team. In fact, since I was 5 years old. This losing the last 2 months has made me absolutely sick.
Right.
I am thrilled to death we won. All I'm wondering about that draft nonsense, that's for losers.
That's for the offseason, by the way. That's the kind of thing, honestly, that you think about. I'll give you week 17 or 18, whatever it is. I'll give you the last week. If you want to lay down in the last week, fine. But until then, I don't want to hear it.
Exactly. I got to be at this Saturday when we play Philly. All them idiots. I'm praying Jaden Daniels plays and what have you. I'm just thrilled, though. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm happy as I don't know what.
Right.
I look forward to seeing you guys on Friday. I've listened to you guys for many years. I've never met you, you fine gentlemen. Can't wait to see you for your holiday show on Friday. God bless you. Hail to the Scares.
All right. Thank you, pal.
A good reminder to promote that we're going to be at Hyde Social for our annual holiday show. That is this Friday in Clarendon at Hyde Social, broadcasting live. Doors open at 6 a.m., so everybody's invited to join us. You can start your holiday early with us, the Junks.
All right, let's go to Jermaine in Bowie. Jermaine, what's up, buddy? How you feeling?
Hey, what's up, Junks?
Hey, man.
I don't know. I don't feel great about the win. It's the Giants. Mm-hmm. We got to keep in mind it's the Giants.
You feel good about the win?
I don't.
You just feel you feel nothing.
A win is a win, right? I feel nothing. A win is a win, but it is a Giant. And I think I know you guys may disagree, but I think we should play for draft pick. a number three draft pick is much more weight than a number 12 or 13 draft pick. And I know we want to win out, but
dude, if you look at the history of the draft, there are superstars taken everywhere, all over, especially in the first round, early in the first round, middle of the first round, late in the first round.
Yeah, but if you get a top five pick, you can trade down to get more draft picks and beef up.
They're going to do that anyway, probably. Regardless of where they end up, they're probably going to move down at some point, if not that first pick. They're going to move down. They're going to acquire more picks. No question about it.
Right, but my thing is, if we went out with 7-10, what's the difference with 7-10?
You know what? I feel like there's a big difference. Listen, maybe I'm wrong, and they proved it the year before when they went from 3 wins to 12, right? And JP always likes to point out that every year a team does, seemingly make some ridiculous turnaround. I just think it's a hell of a lot easier to go from 7 wins to 10 or 11 than it is to go from 4 to 10 or 11. I just think it's a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, but we did it last year. I mean, the year before.
Don't you think that was rather fluky?
I think it was a lot of things happened right. And then I think this year a lot of things went wrong.
Exactly.
We couldn't afford to have any injuries. We didn't have enough backup players to have this many injuries that we had. So I just think this was a bad year. I want to get past it, and I want to move on to next year.
Right. All right. Thank you, Jermaine. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
1-800-636-1067. Right now, about 31% of the people who are voting at Junks Radio say they were not happy by the win.
Well, let's stay with
because
the positive.
Of the worst draft pick.
69% are happy, then. Let's go with the positive.
69% saying they were happy with the win.
70% are happy. I'll take that in this fickle town.
Look, in the NFL, I just looked at the last couple of drafts. You can say you'd rather have the third pick than, let's say, the 10th pick. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You would rather have the third pick than the 10th pick. But in the NFL, there are plenty of stars who are selected much later than the third
pick.
That's
my point.
I just looked. Jahmyr Gibbs was the 12th pick of the draft. I could go year by year, and you're going to find plenty of guys drafted after 10
who are
stars. You can find
undrafted free agents that go to the Hall of Fame. You could find, I mean, where was Tom Brady? Six-round pick? The legendary six-round pick? I mean,
well,
come on.
Stick with this team. Arguably their best player on offense besides Jaden Daniels is Terry McLaurin. He wasn't a first-round pick.
No. I think, was he a third-round pick?
Yeah.
Third-round pick. So I totally agree. Think about the Patriots when they were in their heyday and they kept winning. The Ravens, you can say what you want. I know there's a rivalry between us and the Ravens. Ravens are a model organization. They never really bottom out. Just draft well. Stop being a wuss. Stop being a baby.
And I think
loser.
There's a value to winning football for these players. If they were to lose 12 games in a row, and what we had said is, and they could still win one of these next three games, but what we had said is when you looked at the last four games, given the 8-game losing streak, the Giants was the game that you have to win. It's hard to say you have a must-win game, but that of the four games was the must-win because they also were a team struggling. They're 2-12. Beat them. Division opponent.
I know that the last game may be meaningless, so kind of take that part out of the equation. Just assuming they're all somewhat equal, I think they're going to win. It's nothing great, but I think they're going to win one of the next three. I don't know how.
I think so, too. Look, Dallas lost last night.
I think they could win one of the next three, so that would be 2-2 down the stretch. Not great, but it's a banged-up team. And we'll get to the quarterback situation. They're probably just going to stick with Mariota at this point. That's kind of the vibe we've had. And then you see all these other guys go down with injuries. We'll get into that throughout the show. I think they're going to get one more.
Again, Dallas lost last night. J.J. McCarthy carved him up. J.J. had one of his better games. He did throw a pick, but really nice touchdown. His first touchdown was a beautiful ball, threw it from about the 30-yard line right on the money. Dallas is beatable, and, look, you actually stole a game against the Eagles last year. I know Jalen Hurts was concussed in that game, but we'll see what happens. They haven't been super right. I know they had a great game yesterday, but they could get a win. I think yesterday was a positive step for the Washington Commanders.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to the folks watching on Monumental Sports Network. Shout out to the folks streaming with us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Shout out to the folks listening on the app. Shout out to the folks listening, driving around in their car. Maybe you're old-fashioned. You got an actual radio in your kitchen. Wherever you are, we appreciate it. At 10:30, Lanville wrote a simple question. Said, did the Commanders figure things out or are the Giants terrible? Yes.
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah. The Giants are terrible. I mean, dude, you don't get to.
You know who's worse than the Giants? White Brian. He bets on them all the time. So he got to eat his eighth hot dog. Eight of 23.
So White Brian and Jeff's not here today, so we're going to figure out later in the week how we're going to divvy this up. But White Brian and Jeff do what's called a glizzy bet for every Commanders Giants game. Week one, Washington won by 15, I think.
Yeah. He's supposed to eat 15 glizzies.
So he ate, I think, 13, and they made
Lanville
the other kid.
Lanville helped him out.
No, I think AMAC helped him.
AMAC did?
Yeah, because he's a Giant fan also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yesterday, it looked bad for a minute, because Washington at one point was up pretty big. They were up 22-7 at one point. The Giants, especially in that third quarter, played pretty well. That was the best Jackson Dart look. The throw he made to the right side of the end zone to Tyrone Tracy was just a really great throw.
Mm-hmm.
So White Brian at some point this week is going to have to eat 8 hot dogs. That's light work compared to the 15, the 13.
Nah,
he put
down. We got the foot long ones this time.
We'll figure out. I think we're all in studio Thursday, so I think Thursday should be glizzy
might be
day.
A good day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Thursday will be glizzy day for White
so
Brian.
So OGD.
I do think. Listen, man, the Giants are not a good football team. The Giants, the Raiders, and the Titans are all 2-12. The Giants and the Raiders have now lost 8 in a row. The Raiders are the worst team in football, to me. Yeah. I mean, they got blanked yesterday. They have fired, I think they fired their D coordinator and their O coordinator. The Giants have some pieces, but that's a team that is splintering, right? Because they don't know who's going to be the coach. They don't know if the GM's going to be there. That thing's a mess. The Titans are kind of plucky. The Titans like to cover, but they're just not very good. They also have an interim coach. Who knows what's going to happen in Tennessee? In the decision-making process by NFL owners around the league, how's it look to fire Mike Vrabel and hire Brian Callahan right about now down in
don't
Nashville?
Look good.
Now, I'm not going to blow smoke. I don't know that Washington figured a ton out yesterday. I think Washington figured out we're better than the Giants and let's win this game.
Yeah. Man, you get to those – listen, man, you get to games where you like, we're better than this team, we need to win it. And they found a way. Like, they were asking me for the keys to the game, and I'm always the guy about turnovers and, you know, establishing runs and stuff like that. And Santana, his thing was find a way. And they found a way yesterday to get it done. You know, you're in the game, and early on things were just going for you. And then the ball, like you said, started to go on the ground, and you have those turnovers. And then at that point, anything can happen. And you could see the Giants will start moving the ball. And they found the way on defense to begin to hamper them. You know, so the thing I keep seeing, Dan has a rhythm. He's been doing it so long, you know he understands how to switch up and cause issues for people on offense. And he did a good job of that yesterday. And then the offense was able to move the ball. Because if they had been doing those three and outs like they were doing all the time early in the season, they would have some damn problems.
Yeah. The first half, they did a really good job. I mean, time of possession ended up almost dead even, 31-29. Dart was not impressive yesterday as a passer, I didn't think. He had the one big run, like the 30-yarder 29-yarder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That really kind of got them going. Hit a couple big passes. Darius Slayton didn't help him. Slayton dropped a touchdown
pass.
Slayton
dropped a lot of balls.
I think, you know, New York's defense wasn't great. I think if you just look at possession, Washington in the first half had big plays and longer drives. Mm-hmm. In the second half, honestly, probably the longest drive they had in the second half was until the Mariota fumble. I mean, that was at least from a play count, just kind of churning some clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then the J-Mac fumble at the end, B, I don't know about you, but I was like sitting in that Giants Stadium press box, which was absolutely freezing. It couldn't have been more than 10 degrees warmer than it was outside. I don't know what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you sitting higher up? Where'd you end up sitting?
I was on the same level, but I was in the suite.
Oh, so you were warm.
Well, they had the window open.
Why?
I don't understand it. Listen, so the guys walk in, they walk down, and they sat right by the window that was open. I sat back a little bit. Then I realized real quick, I need to go put my coat on. And I put my coat on and put the hoodie, and I was cool. It was fine there. But if I was closer to the window, it would have been hell.
I was so I'm sitting front row of the press box, which is right against the glass. It was so cold that I had hat on, like snow cap on, mm-hmm. and my coat on sitting there. And like I wasn't alone.
And that's with the window.
Everybody
with the
had,
window closed. They must have little things shooting cold air on y'all. They want to be a
so my guess is because it's so tall, the hot air rises, and then you're right up against that window. And I mean, it's 15 degrees on the other side of that window. You can only do so much. I'm not going to name names, but at various times, members of the Washington media were so cold that they just went back into the press box, back like where the food is served,
yeah.
and watched on TV. I did not do it, but I thought about it.
You
it
know
was
what?
Cold.
You probably should have. That's where I saw everybody sitting there when I was walking out. They were sitting over there doing all their work, which I don't listen, bro.
That's pretty normal, though, just to go spread out.
They had it in a different little area, not in the food spot. It was like behind
the wall. Little wall.
My thing is,
DA
listen,
and Nikki
bro,
were doing
as long
there.
As you get the job done, it's all that matters.
And that's what Washington did yesterday. They did not close strong. The back-to-back fumbles on back-to-back drives when you have a two-touchdown lead. But there was a part of me, B, on that last drive after the J-Mac fumble, and I was just like, do not let this game get tied up. Nobody on the planet needs overtime in this game.
I think you and everybody else was thinking that.
You know that yesterday, Steve Wino told me this. It was great to see Wino. Yesterday was the only game in the NFL. Everybody played. There's no more bye weeks. There were 32 teams playing yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was the only game in the NFL with zero playoff consequences. Like, like a lot of games didn't matter for one team or the other.
Yeah.
But this was the only one that no matter what the outcome was, would affect nothing else across the league.
Yeah.
And that's why nobody needed overtime.
I was just hoping, like we were talking before the game, like, what do you think it should be? I say, both teams should have about 45, 50 carries. Just run the damn
keep
ball.
Keep it moving.
It could end in 2 hours and 15 minutes. But it was, listen, the game ended up being entertaining to me. I liked it.
Well, I think if it went the other way, you'd probably feel pretty different, but a win is a win. And that's, I thought the tone in the locker room afterwards was perfectly appropriate. And we'll ask Sam Cosmi. Sam Cosmi is going to join us at noon today. Excited to talk to Sam. Like, the guys were happy to get a win, but it was almost like a greater sense of relief to break the streak.
Dude, you hadn't won in 8 weeks, 9 weeks when you throw a damn a bye in there. When that thing finally happens, I don't care what people have to say. You're like, okay, good. We know we can do
days.
This. It's a long damn time.
Marcus, in his comments after the game, was like, it's really hard to go 2 months without winning a football game.
It is.
And you
always said, the NFL makes it to where it's hard to, it's as hard to go on losing streaks as it is winning streaks.
It's designed for parity.
Yes.
The league is designed for parity. I think, you know, I got to talk to Von Miller for a while after the game and just kind of his temperament. He's like, we just had to get one. He's like, you know, there have been bad games on this streak, but there's been games where we were right there, too. And
the games they should have won, too.
I think if you look at the losing streak and you look at how it all kind of shook out this year, that stretch where they played four really explosive offenses in a month and they were pretty beat up, that stretch was bad football, period. You lose four in a row by three touchdowns or more for the first time in 25 years. That's bad football. But there was bookended with just some really narrow, difficult losses. You start with the Bears, then you go to that Broncos game. And I think what was most important about getting this win is coming off the terrible Vikings game.
Yeah.
Because the Vikings game, you really can't explain that one away.
We seem to have given the Vikings some level of hope.
Yeah.
Because, man played well. I'm going to just say this here. I was pulling for him last night.
I bet you were.
I was pulling for him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalen Lane from the 37. There is a flag across midfield. Lane still going inside the 20. The 10 into the end zone for a touchdown. But remember, there is a flag. So we will check with the referee, Bill Vinovich.
Yeah, you can check with him all you want. The flag was on the Giants. The rookie punt returner's pretty good. Jalen Lane with his second punt return for a touchdown this year. Ties a franchise record for the most in a season. He's got another three games to break that record. Maybe something to root for here down the stretch. Good morning. 2+ months of losing, and when it started to become something of a thing to root for the losing for draft pick reasons, they go ahead and win a game. I doubt it's going to start a season-ending run, but Dan Quinn's done a lot of that late in seasons as a head coach. More on that coming up. For the best possible draft pick crowd, you know, for you, you didn't get what you wanted. Losing out is what many of you were rooting for. I thought they could win another game. I thought they would win another game. We talked about this last week. And certainly the Giant game yesterday was their best shot to win in a while. I mean, the Giants have now their own 8-game losing skid after yesterday. They're a bad football team. And apparently they are worse than even our bad football team. But let me just say this, for the record, I would have been fine once we got to the point where Jaden wasn't going to play, and we'll find out maybe more today about his prospects for playing Saturday against the Eagles. But I did like the way they came together, because had they gone out the way they've played recently, especially the way they played last week, that was the worst loss of the year, bar none. If they had come out against the Giants yesterday and shown nothing again, I mean, we would have had the fire everybody crowd getting bigger and that line getting longer, and it would have started to gain some momentum. So I'm glad, and I'm not saying it's going to quell all of the fire everybody crowd, but I don't think it will increase after what was, without question, an impressive effort. They were ready to play. They were prepared to play. This was the opposite of last week. As I mentioned, Dan Quinn's teams don't crater at the end of seasons. I've mentioned this a lot over the last, you know, few weeks, and you know, when they hired him, Quinn as a head coach in his team's final four regular season games of each season, he was 20-4 before yesterday, 21-4 now, 21 wins, 4 losses in the final four. And I want to be clear about something. It's not because he had really good teams that played really good football. No, 3 of those seasons were to get back to 7-9 or 8-8. So this is going to be different than 7-9 or 8-8, although 7-10 is in play. I doubt it will happen. But 21-4 over the final four games of a regular season isn't flukish. It's a trend. It deals with his competitiveness, his resilience, and his ability to get people in the darkest of moments to be motivated, to go out and do their best, which they played yesterday on a crappy day, man. Windy, cold, temperatures falling throughout the game. The crowd was, you know, completely and utterly dressed as empty seats. And Quinn got more out of less, something none of the coaches did a week ago. It wouldn't shock me if they play well Saturday against Philadelphia. Might not be enough to win. The Eagles are hardly the New York Giants. But playing a potential spoiling role, although that's becoming less of an issue after the Cowboys lost last night, would be somewhat extra motivating. You may hear in my voice a little bit of a cold. We're going to be fine. Max is here with me. Ben will join us at 12. Quinn won't talk until later on this afternoon. But yesterday was one of those games really where, you know, I mean, we're getting into the game yesterday. There's a bigger picture here, of course, but on this Monday following the first win in over 2 months, shouldn't we acknowledge that they played hard, they were prepared, they played well, they weren't perfect, far from it. I mean, the end of that game, what they were attempting to do by handing the ball back to the Giants a couple of times to try to blow it, that was not what you would call in the trade impressive. But overall, all three phases, you know, that's the cliche, but yesterday they got all three phases. Jalen Lane's punt return, you know, ties four others, including Brian Mitchell, who last did it in 1994. B. Mitch started that 94 campaign with a punt return for a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints, close to his home in the Superdome. But Jalen Lane's two punt returns now joins four others. And one more, and he'll set the franchise record. Keep in mind, he'd have a better chance to set the record if the other teams punted more often than they have this year. But I've liked him as a returner, and that wasn't his only good return. He was solid all day long. Special teams, a big part of yesterday's game. The defense, for the first time in months, did not embarrass themselves. I mean, they made plays. And the biggest play was part of an incredible turnaround at the end of the first half when Mikey Sanders still picked off Jackson Dart and returned at 55 yards. That led to points for Washington and no points for the Giants. But it was part of a couple of minute swing that really determined the game. And then on offense, I mean, what can you say? They did what we've been asking them to do and what we asked them to do before this particular game, because the Giants had been a team that had struggled defensively, especially against the run. But that was a much better idea that Cliff Kingsbury had yesterday. Run the damn football. On Friday, I said, I want 33-plus rushes for at least 150. And if they can do that, they've got a really good chance to win. And I also specifically mentioned I wanted 27 of the 33 to be from the running backs, led by, I was hoping, Chris Rodriguez. Of course, he was the latest to be inactive and injured with a groin injury. But Kroski Merritt and Jeremy McNichols combined for 27 carries. So I was looking for 27 from the starting running backs. They had 27 carries. Mariota added another 10. Few of those were scrambles for sure, but overall 37 rushing attempts for 145 yards. 37 rush attempts, guess what that was yesterday? The most in a game for Washington this season. The most. And it worked. It set up everything else. It made everything else really easy. Their play action game was on yesterday. Again, the reasons for it, the Giants had the 31st ranked rush defense in the league. And I would also just mention Cliff had permission yesterday to use the quarterback in the run game, something he didn't have last week. But man, Cliff did a bit of a reversal. You know, he felt it. You could tell the sting of last week, the play calling in particular at the goal line at the end of the first drive. I mean, Thursday's press conference was incredibly self-reflective, and you know, he got after himself, and he took a lot of the blame and a lot of the accountability. It seems like it's not that shocking. It's not like he would be resistant to that, but I have a feeling not only did last week really serve as a bit of a wake-up call for him, but I think the head coach wasn't all that pleased either. So yesterday was one of those days where all three phases contributed to the win. It wasn't a perfect game, far from it. How about the late-game shenanigans with the two fumbles? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, Marcus Mariota just dropped the football on the ground, and then McNichols had it stripped in the backfield. That would have been an all-time 2025 Skins loss. Although actually the game was competitive, so it wouldn't quite fit with a lot of the other losses. But you get the point. If they had blown that lead of 15 points with the football down the stretch. But look, Washington's not going to end up with the number one pick now. I think they're slotted at 8 or 9 right now. And one more win and they'll likely be at 10 or lower if that's something you're interested in. Yesterday became just the first time since the 82 and 83 seasons that Washington went back-to-back seasons sweeping the Giants. So there is that, I guess. But, all right, I got a lot more. I got my game take coming up. I want you guys to participate. I actually need you to participate today at 301-230-0980. A miserable game. I don't know about you guys, but I was really dialed in on some of the incredible NFL games, meaningful NFL games in the 1 o'clock window, like Bills Patriots. What a comeback for Josh Allen. They were down 21-0 in the game. The Mahomes injury, my God, they were, you know, had the ball down 3 late in that game. And then you had the 4 o'clock window that had all those games starting at the same time. No early 4 o'clock window, starts all at 4:25. And I think at one point, with the exception of the 49ers-Titans game, every single game was a one-score, tightly fought game. And then last night, the Vikings did to Dallas not exactly what they did to us, but it was one of the most pressured games. I think it was the number one pressured game of Dak Prescott's career. And the Cowboys, really in the second half, had all kinds of issues offensively dealing with Minnesota's defense. And the Vikings had and got another really good performance from J.J. McCarthy. Always early to count a quarterback out after 7 starts. The Vikings at 34-26, the final over Dallas, puts Dallas now into a situation where the only way they can make the playoffs is to win out and have Philly lose out. Now, Philly does play Buffalo in between 2 games against our team. If we want to play spoiler, I doubt, and I said this on Friday, I gave the Vikings out as a smell test pick. 4-1 weekend, Max. I mean, I can't. I don't know what it is this year. Honestly, it's hard to pick losers. If I tried to pick losers, I don't think I could pick them at this point. Although they're probably coming. They're probably coming. But Dallas with the Chargers, Washington on Christmas, and the Giants to finish up would have to sweep their 3 games, and Washington would have to beat Philly twice, and Buffalo would have to beat them as well. So, 301-230-0980. You can start chiming in about 25 minutes. My game take won't be, I don't think, quite as long as it typically is, but I'm going to get through it when we get back. What I liked from the game, what I didn't like, and a few other observations. From Washington's 29-21 win over the New York Giants to stop an 8-game losing skid that lasted over 2 months. All right, you have to go back to early October for their last win against the Chargers at SoFi. Turns out that's a pretty impressive win given the Chargers season, but early in the season is not late in the season. But Washington stops that skid, and they turn the Giants' current losing skid into an 8-game losing skid. The Giants, by the way, if they don't win another game, it'll be their worst regular season in 51 years. I was looking this up because I'm like, the Giants have had some bad seasons, especially in recent years. But have they ever gone like 2-15 or 2-14? The answer would be no, never. They won three games at one point, but the last time they won two, 1974 in the season, was a 14-game skid. The Giants still have the Vikings, who are finishing strong, the Cowboys, but they also play a game in Vegas against the Raiders. But they are certainly trending towards a potential number one overall pick. Great football yesterday afternoon. I don't know how much you watched the Phillip Rivers game, Max. Fascinating to watch.
Quite.
They really had a legit shot to win that game.
It's very weird when you see a guy who looks like he should be out there coaching, lacing him up.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, he tried his damnedest, and I'm proud of him for it.
You saw yesterday the above-the-head importance of the above-the-neck, excuse me, not above-the-head, the above-the-neck importance of the position. He can't throw it like he used to. At least it didn't show yesterday. But he did an awful lot to give them a chance to win the game. They're still not eliminated. Indianapolis isn't. They still have a chance. That was not a game they were expected to win. We'll go around the NFL, but they are far from out of it. They're one game behind Houston right now for that wild card, although Houston's still battling for the division. But Indy still has Jacksonville once and the Texans to finish up. I would assume Rivers is going to be their starting quarterback for the remainder of the year.
Unfortunately, that's how bad the Giants' rush defense has been this year.
Up the middle, all the way into the end zone on cue, Kroski Merritt, 16 yards.
We're excited about where he's headed, so it was cool. He has a very distinct running style, especially in between the tackles. I feel like that's where, although he's not the biggest guy that you would see, he does run downhill.
Bill had a day, 96 yards on 18 carries and a touchdown. The 16-yard score was his best run of the day, ended in the paint, and it was a rare opportunity for him over the last several weeks. He's fallen out of favor, hadn't been quite as productive as Chris Rodriguez, but you got to stay ready in this league. Rodriguez unavailable. I'll speak for myself. I thought he was going to play and maybe not start.
I did too. I was bummed for Rodriguez. Like, it seems like every time he's gotten a chance, something happens.
True.
Whatever and it is, yeah.
Especially in this game, because this is a team he would have leaned on. He would have had success against too. They just can't stop the run. But whoever was going to go, and we said as much last week, whether it was Bill or Rodriguez, I predicted 100 yards, ended up being short of that, 96, but close enough. Mariota adds 40-plus. Also, you want to talk about guys, you know, discrepancy of workloads based on kids and veterans. Mm-hmm. Here's one that annoyed me. Like, you're big on the Jalen Lane one, it sounds like. Jeremy McNichols getting, at one point, more carries than Bill was annoying to me. I understand that Jeremy McNichols is situationally used as the protector in the shotgun, two-minute, four-minute offense. Anytime they're in 11 personnel out of the gun, he's the guy next to Mariota. But what I would say to that is use Bill in that capacity. But he's not as good a pass protector. Let's get him some work as a pass protector.
Yeah, what a great time to get him one.
Jaden Daniels is not out there. Now, you're saying I can't get Marcus Mariota hurt either because next up's Josh Johnson and then Sam Hartman and then what? But at some point during the game, I looked and McNichols had like 6 or 7 carries for 8 yards or something. And Bill had 6 for 35. And I'm going, what are we doing here splitting carries between these two guys?
Yeah, he was leading the snap count parade for a while until they got up a little bit. And then it was, you know, Bill's turn to run to tote the rock. And they kind of kept going to it. But I'm with you. I was irritated by it.
Even still, your rookie running back, 7th-round pick, who's got the bright future, had 2/3 of the attempts. And the soon-to-be 30-year-old journeyman running back, who's had a very good season, had 33% of the carries, 9 out of the 27.
So we got there.
I would have change that a little bit. It would have been 22-23 for Bill and maybe 4 or so for McNichols with more play time for Kroski Merritt. But all year long, and to some extent this has worked, so I'll give them some credit for this, they really have not tried to put a whole lot on any one running back's plate. Even in the games where it's the Chris Rodriguez game, he ends up with like 14 carries to Bill's 6, and you know his snap count is similar to what Bill's was yesterday. They're very much seemingly trying to not ask much of these young running backs, especially. And McNichols has just been heavily involved in a year where he has produced, to his credit. All right, let's give out some game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. You can call us at 800-636-1067 if you'd like to participate. I'll take a game ball. I liked what I saw from Mikey Sanristil again on the outside. Let's talk about young guys who did some things yesterday. The second-year player, who was a second-round pick last year, picked off a pass for the fourth time. 7 interceptions all year as a team, not enough. He's got 4 of them, which is impressive. And you heard in the telecast, by the way, I'm trying to remember who it was that said this. I think it might have been, Kenny Albert. But he said that Dan Quinn said this week when we talked to him that Sanristil makes more plays outside than he did inside. Pretty obvious. We've all talked about
it. I'll agree with that.
Is it time to just keep him outside and quit trying to force feed this whole he's a nickel thing? I wonder what they're going to do this offseason. Are they going to view him and Amos with another veteran Jonathan Jones type as like their outside corners and then go find a nickel? Or do they still think Sanristil can play nickel because you know that's more valuable if he can, and now you're looking for an outside corner, which might be a little easier to find because it's not as difficult or complicated a position. But I thought Mikey did some good things again yesterday, and the return, like he made a wide receiver-like play on the ball. Then he made a really nice return just to get them into position to get points at the end of the half. They stole that half, yep, and maybe the game. The punt return
that was
touchdown
the turning point
with
the game
105,
right there. Mm-hmm.
And then the field goal, basically because they missed an extra point because Jake Moody kicked it off the upright. But it was 9 points in the final 65 seconds of the half. There's your ball game.
Yep, that's how they ended up winning. Game ball, please, Topes. Antonio Hamilton. I had to look him up in the old program, but I actually thought he played pretty well. He was visible a couple different times, pretty decent coverage, right? I think he's probably athletically limited compared to some of the other guys they usually prefer, but he was there. I had 2 pass breakups, was physical in tackling as well, but he popped a couple different times.
It was weird to see a Commander's corner constantly in phase. Like, here's how it normally works. You watch the quarterback drop back and throw, then the camera pans, and there's a wide open receiver with a DB coming into the screen or just trailing by a few yards. Every single time they panned and 34 was in coverage, he was in phase.
He was right around there.
There was the one time where he got beat for what should have been a touchdown, and Darius Slayton was kind enough to drop a touchdown. He also dropped a slant. He knew the assignment yesterday pretty well.
Darius Slayton got the memo.
But Hamilton, I thought, that was as good a coverage day on the outside as they've had from any corner. This is a 32-year-old journeyman who has played on a bunch of teams, who was an undrafted free agent back in 2016, Danny.
Mm.
I got a tweet from someone yesterday like, hey, we might have found a young guy here who should be on the team next year. I was like, maybe, but it's not Antonio Hamilton.
I was going to say, is this tweet from 2017?
Now, he could be around if he wants to as a depth piece. I got no problem with that. But go ahead and Google him, Kurt Cignetti style. He's an older dude. He's been in the league since 2016 as a UDFA, and he's played for everybody. By the way, Oakland, not Vegas, Oakland, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Falcons, to name a few. I liked what I saw. Good game ball there. I'll take another game ball. I thought that Terry McLaurin, with limited opportunities, made the most of his chances. At halftime, he had 1 catch for 3 yards. I actually got a text from someone going, is Terry McLaurin playing today? And I don't know if they were being honest or not. They could have been being facetious. But I said, yeah, he's got 1 catch for 3 yards. It was that first third down of the game where he was short, but they said that he got it, which I'll take, by the way. But beyond the point, Terry McLaurin, 3 for 69 in a score, makes the tough catch on the sideline on a ball that almost went past him, made a really nice hands catch. And then the Giants were not interested at all in tackling him after that post where he runs through 2 arm tackles to score a 51-yard touchdown.
They're like, Terry, stop. Don't
you just want to go down?
Terry, oh. what a terrible effort that was, by
the
way.
Say what you want about the Commanders, but they were playing harder than the Giants for much of yesterday.
That is true.
The worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn, oh, you hate those timeouts, don't you, brother? God, they bother you. Just sitting there in your pocket going, I got to get rid of these things. I hate them. 2 different occasions, Washington couldn't figure out which way. It may not be his fault specifically, but of course he's in charge, so I blame him. 2 separate timeouts, nothing changes no matter what. They can't get this right once a game or twice a game in this case, usually about 1.5 times. I'll take it to the end of the second one. This is my favorite. Incomplete pass. Jameis Winston attempts short to the right to Wandale Robinson, incomplete. Washington calls a timeout. Just because, you know, the clock was stopped, 10:40 to go, got to make sure get everybody right. Always something every single time, plus your team committed 11 penalties.
I'm going to read from the play-by-play here. Injury update. Washington, Noah Brown, return is questionable. I hate to give a guy a gasser for an injury, especially after a big 28-yard catch, boxing a guy out. That's the whole point. That's the dream. That's what you like.
Yep.
That play by Mariota was dirty, by the way.
Yes, it was.
That was like Jaden at his best kind of stuff. Like, out of the pocket, extending, on the move, throws a dime, Brown makes a catch, boxing a dude out. And then he's done for the day. The questionable turned into a he will not return, for the record, for those of you keeping score at home. The experiment is over. Thank you for your services. I appreciate the former Ohio State Buckeyes' efforts. He gone. It's over, Johnny. I am now doing what the Texans did. He was way better in Houston because he played a little more. Look up his numbers. He had some huge games with the Texans when they had some injuries at receiver the year before they released him. But they just decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't keep doing this. And I'm now saying the same thing. It is over. I am moving on. I don't want a one-year deal at league minimum. I want no contract discussions. I need healthier players. I need guys at practice. I am moving on. The experiment is over. Thank you for the Hail Mary, one of the greatest plays in team history.
And thank you for that. Seriously.
And thank you for your time. This is not personal. I just can't do it anymore. It's not you. It's me.
The law firm of Mariota, Kroski, Merritt, and McNichols. That's four fumbles between you. Come on, dudes. Come on, guys. Now, also a gasser for Josh Connerly for the penalties, but a game ball for Josh Connerly for recovering two fumbles, just continuing to follow the play and hustling. So good for you, but you're lucky, the law firm of Mariota, Kroski, Merritt, and McNichols. The fumbling. Come on, man. Come on. Four. You could have lost four. You're lucky you only lost two. And they almost those two almost cost you the game.
The penalties, by the way, in this game for Washington, early. They had run 11 plays total between the two teams. They had a penalty on one out of every three of those plays.
It was something.
It was like, well, did we practice this week? I guess the answer to that is no.
We had some bet days off.
For most guys, right? Because it was a week. But come on, man. They ended up putting it together and taking the 22-7 lead. Now, they fumbled a few times, as you mentioned, and got the Giants back.
You know, fumbling.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.